have a little celebration about the Lord bless us. I believe it's tomorrow we'll be in the church, and I'm not going to be back. Well, if you want to make a cake, make a cake. Amen. Amen. I've eaten some of these cakes in this church. I'll stand up and wave my hand. I ain't gonna tell you not to make a cake. Amen. Amen, brother. You're around, you can come be with us too. But amen, everybody's invited. Amen. Amen. Let's just give Brother James Weissman a big Sandhill welcome. Amen. He's a missionary to Guatemala. Amen.
God bless you, brother. You're so bad, Lord. Hey, thank you.
Praise God. Are you glad to be here today? All right. Sounds like it. I'm certainly glad to be here. I would rather be here than the best hospital in Pensacola or Tallahassee or anywhere else, or even the best jail in Guatemala. Praise God. Is there anyone here? I'm sure I must have missed somebody. When you have three entrances, it's hard to catch everybody. Anybody did not get one of our cards? Raise your hand, please. Oh, I did get a few. All right, here you go. Thank you. We want everybody to have one. If you want more than one, feel free. You're welcome to more than one. We want you to put this in a very important place. Most missionaries call them prayer cards, but you know, I got to thinking about that one day, and I figured out that that's the wrong name for them, because I've never seen this card pray. You know, it should be a prayer reminder card. It's to remind you to pray. And it's very, very important that you pray. We want you to put it in an important place. Now, not up with your family portraits. That doesn't count. Because, you know, how many people go and look at your family portraits every day? Nobody. That's exactly right. But you know what? How many goes in front of the mirror at least once a day? Only four. My goodness. Well, I'll get the rest of you right here. How many go to the refrigerator at least once a day? Well, only six were willing to admit it with their hands, but I know you do, because I know you're not all sitting here fasting all your life. You know, that's almost a forgotten thing in the church nowadays. But I'm not going to get onto that right now. I could preach on that a long time. But fasting won't hurt you, I promise. But I know we see the refrigerator often enough. So that's the place you need to put it. Put it up on your refrigerator door. And every time you go to get in that refrigerator, you don't have to get down and do an hour and a half prayer meeting for us, unless you just want to. But now, if you would just send up a one-line prayer every time you open that refrigerator door, when you see our picture, God bless them today. God give them souls today. God protect them today. God meet their needs today. Then God's going to hear and He'll answer. Most missionaries give out about 10,000 of these on their furlough. We've given out over 25,000 because I believe in prayer. How many here believe in prayer? All right. Hey, that's 100%. Boy, got better on that one than we did the refrigerator. You know, we all like the idea of God answering our prayers. And I believe that it's very, very important that we have people praying for us. In fact, I could share. I was the other day. I was just thinking about it. That I've been to Guatemala 7 times, and God has spared my life at least once for every time I've been there. I can directly look at a specific incident where my life was in danger. Once I was going down a trail in the jungle. That's where we minister, is in the jungles of Guatemala. And I had a little Guatemalan boy about 4 years old on my shoulders. He was tired of walking, and I was carrying him. And because the Mayan Indians are so short, I walk a lot faster than they do. And I was about 15 minutes ahead of the group. And I'm excited when I'm in Guatemala. I'm excited here. But I was about 15 minutes ahead of the group. And the trail took a little bend, and there was a mud puddle in the bend of the trail. And it was a little bit, about where your double doors are, about that distance from here. And I stopped and I looked, and there was a full-grown jaguar standing there drinking from that mud puddle. Well, now, you may not know how big a jaguar is. Sometimes people just think that that's about like a bobcat, but it's not. The jaguar, the Guatemalan jaguar, is the world's third largest cat. The only thing bigger is a lion and a tiger. The jaguar goes over 300 pounds. The next thing on the agenda should have been dinner, and I should have been the one on the plate. Well, you know what? That jaguar looked up, it stared at us a couple moments, and it jumped off in the weeds and ran away. I am so glad somebody was praying for me. It's important. You never know. The Assemblies of God has almost 2,800 missionaries, and I'm telling you that every one of our missionaries' lives are in danger almost every day. It's not a nice world out there. We get so comfortable in our environment here in the United States, we think everybody loves us because we love us so much. But you know what? We are hated around the world. And when we go to take the gospel, it's not always welcomed. And so you need to pray, pray, pray. Not just for us, but for all the missionaries. But please pray for us too. When we got back to the village, we told the people what we had seen. And the villagers said, "That's not possible. It's not true." And I said, "Why not?" And they said, "Because no one ever sees a jaguar and lives to tell about it." They said, "We found bones, but we never hear the story." And they said, "The second reason is because the jaguar is a nighttime animal. You would never see one in the daytime. And the third reason is because they believe that the jaguar is the sacred animal of the Mayas. And what that means is they believe it's a spirit. You can't see a spirit. And they believe that all the spirits are mean." And so then they said, "Unless..." And I love it. I love it. Because you see, my God is a God of exceptions. My God is a God of miracles. My God is a God that can change whatever He wants to change. And it doesn't matter what man says, God has the final say. And they said, "Unless your God is so powerful that He would protect you from it and privilege you to see it." Well, they took the little boy over there and they took me over there and they interrogated us for about 20 minutes. Now, you know the scary thing of that whole thing, the jaguar wasn't there long enough for me to be scared of it. The scary thing was that my story as an adult has to be corroborated by a 4-year-old. But you know what? They asked us both the same questions. They asked us, "How long was it?" "Well, it was this long." "How tall was it?" "Well, it was this tall." And it had these spots all over it. And they kept asking us all these questions. They finally brought us back together and they said, "Your stories agree." Praise God. And you know what? And they said, "We agree that your God is more powerful." Praise God. You see, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it into good. And now, that little boy, 4 years old, and myself, are the only two humans alive that these people know that has ever seen a jaguar and lived to tell about it. Now we're celebrities. Now, anything I say, they want to listen to because they know that my God is more powerful and will protect me from the evil spirits. Praise God. Praise God. That's why it's important to pray. That's why it's important to pray. I could tell you at least 5 other incidents where God has dramatically spared my life. I was telling our brother that I was broken down in Mexico. I had a bus. And I was driving it through Mexico and on the way to Guatemala. I've driven 4 times. It's 3,500 miles. It's a long trip. It's normally about a 7-day drive. And I had a 4-day visa for Mexico, and the bus blew its engine 3 times in Mexico. They would not extend my visa, so I was in Mexico illegally for 17 days. And God just spared my life. The last time it blew its engine, I was in a very desolate area of Mexico, a very dangerous, dangerous area, and it was coming on to nightfall. And so what could I do? I'm stuck there. And God sent someone to pick me up. I don't know who these people were. I don't know any names. All I know is that I was going to go to sleep in the bus, and I had it pulled over as far as I could, and I couldn't back it back down the mountain, and it was in a very desolate, very dangerous area. And the Holy Spirit told me, "Hitchhike out of here." Okay. And I kept looking. Well, nobody drives at night in Mexico, not in that area, because it's so dangerous. And so as it turns out, while there were some cars coming along and they went on by and then it was just black for the longest time. And I said, "Well, Lord, if you want me to hitchhike out of here, there's got to be a vehicle for me to thumb, you know?" And then off in the distance, I saw the headlights of 2 vehicles. And the Holy Spirit spoke very dramatically to me and said, "Those 2 vehicles coming, the first one's going to pass you by. The second one is going to stop. Do not be afraid to get in and go with them." I don't know who those people were. I don't know if they came from heaven or if it was just a Mexican. I don't know. But all I do know is the first vehicle passed me by, just like the Holy Spirit said. The second one was a big old cargo truck. It pulls up, opens the door, and he said, "Get in." I got in. They're speaking Spanish. He says, "Get in." I got in. I shut the door. There was 2 of them in there. The one moves over. And normally when they pick up a hitchhiker, you ride back in the back with the cargo. In third world countries, that's the way it works. They didn't. They wanted me up in the front. He says, the very first thing he said was, "What on earth are you doing out here on this road at night?" I said, "I can't help it. My bus is broken. I didn't choose this." He said, "You can't be here." I said, "I am here." And he said, "The animals here will kill you and the people will kill you." And I looked at him and I said, "I'm safe now." He says, "Where do you want to go?" And he took me all the way to the Mexican-Belizean border, which was, I think, about 200 miles. And you know what I did? I kid you not. I laid my head back and I went to sleep. Because that's the peace of God. And I'm glad people were praying. It's important. It's critically important that you pray. My life was spared. When I went back the next day, he dropped me at a town where I could get a big tow truck. And when I went back the next day, the bus had been broken in by the very bandits that would have taken my life. But God spared me. And He has a purpose. And that is what I could stand here and tell you all day long. I could tell you for the next month that God has a purpose for your life. And there is no devil in hell that can stop you if you want to obey Him. No one can sidetrack you if you are willing to obey God and do what He says to do. Well, I'll tell you what. You can't tell I'm excited about what I do, can you? Before I go any further, well, there's two things I want to do. One, y'all have BGMC here? Boys and Girls Missionary Crusade. This is called a Buddy Barrel. It's a little bank that the children's church age use to collect money, and that goes to the mission field, and that helps to buy Sunday school material for churches in third world countries on the mission field. And it is so important. And so if you have a BGMC program, I want to thank you for it. It's very important. In third world countries, they can't afford to buy the Sunday school literature. They're very poor. In Guatemala, the average income is $250 a year. You're not going to buy much with that. You spend all your money just trying to stay alive. You don't have any extras. And so the young people here in our country, the youth, with the Speed the Light program, it's critically important. Without Speed the Light, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. We go to villages that can only be reached by water. And I thank God for the canoe and the boat motor that Speed the Light will provide. I've got a picture of my motorcycle back there. There's villages that you can only reach by a trail. You can't drive a truck there. You can't drive a car there, but I can drive my motorcycle there. There's villages where, without the four-wheel drive, that we can't get there. And during the rainy season, there's a 4 or 5 month rainy season. You see, if you can imagine a space between the area of Pensacola and Tallahassee, that's the area, the size of the area in Guatemala we minister. And if you can imagine only 4 paved roads in that entire area, the rest are dirt. It's not a formal road at all. It's just where people have driven, that's the road. And in the rainy season, those roads don't exist. Without a four-wheel drive, you don't go anywhere. And so thank God for Speed the Light. They provide those materials for us. They provide vehicles. They provide projectors. They provide sound equipment. They provide light equipment. Whatever we need in the manner of equipment and vehicles, Speed the Light will provide. And I thank God for that. It's so important. And of course, the men's ministries have the Light for the Lost program. And that provides discipleship material and Bibles. When we win somebody to Christ, if we don't have any way to disciple them, what good is it? What good is it? They'll dry up on the vine and wither away. We have to be able to give them the Word of Life. You know, I can't just stay in one little village all my life. You know, we have to train them, yes, but we have to be able to give them materials and let them read and let them study the Word and then go on to another village and then we'll come back and we'll keep going and we'll disciple them some more. But they have to have something in their hands. And so Light for the Lost helps provide that, and that's very important. And then the women's ministries, they provide things for our home that helps make it a little bit more comfortable. I tell you what, when you go into a third world country, it's 110 degrees there. We don't have air conditioning. Running water is almost non-existent. The water pressure is so low in this town that we'll be living in that we'll have to buy most of our water. The electricity is part-time. It goes out every day, and it could be for 20 minutes, or it could be for hours, or it might be 2 or 3 days. We don't know. So the electricity will go out every day, and so it's a very part-time electricity. So we can't depend on those things. And it's really nice to be able to have some quality things from home. You know, some nice bed sheets to lay on. You can't get that quality stuff. You can't